Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream our show live weekday mornings at 9 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Good morning. I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. Coming up, Voices from Our Women of Faith series. But first, if you're a Democratic strategist in the midst of this impeachment inquiry, you're not just keeping a close eye on what voters of your own party think. You're watching voters who call themselves independents. Gallup reports that around 40% of Americans, give or take a few percentage points, identify as independents. But you also have to understand this. Independents usually lean one way or the other, voting most often for one party or the other. So true independents are rarer than you think. It's one of the things we're going to talk about this morning. While we're planning a whole hour on this at some point this fall, we wanted to take the pulse of independents on the impeachment inquiry so far. So if you're a registered independent, tell us which way you usually lean and tell us how you're seeing this unfolding investigation. Are you concerned about what you've seen of President Trump's interaction with the president of Ukraine? Are you unconvinced of the seriousness of this? So if you identify as an independent voter, we're going to ask you which way you usually lean. And then we're really interested to know what you think of this unfolding impeachment inquiry. So here's a number, 651-227-6000. 800-242-2828, and I'm on Twitter where we've got a lively conversation going on about this already. It's at Carrie, K-E-R-R-I-M-P-R. Samara Klar is with us. She's a political scientist and associate professor at the University of Arizona. She's the author of the book Independent Politics, and she joins us today from Tucson. Samara, welcome. It's good to have you back on the show.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here, Carrie. How are you?
I'm doing well. I want to talk to you, Samara, about leaning and independence, because I think we're going to hear from some people who say, well, hold on. I've voted for candidates from other parties. Doesn't that make me a true independent? How do we define it?
Well, you know, we generally define party identification in however people report their own party identification. So, you know, we ask people whether they are Democrats, independents, or we ask them to identify themselves. And what we find, as you mentioned, is around 40% of Americans now say that they are independents, so we take their word for it. But when we ask them if there's a party to which they prefer, around 80% of independents do prefer one of the two major parties, either the Democrats or Republicans, and it splits pretty evenly. Now, if you say you're an independent who prefers one of the parties, you know, we take your word for it. You are an independent. And my co-author, Yana Kubnikov, and I have found that there are some important differences between independents who lean toward the party and self-professed partisans. You know, leaners are a little less likely to want to publicly talk about their partisanship. They might vote for the same party every year, as many of them do, but they're not the ones who are going to be out volunteering, campaigning, putting up yard signs, and doing all these things that campaigns are really hoping they'll do.
That was the other thing that I was curious about. Do you find that true independents approach a political issue differently, something controversial? I mean, do you find that they come to it maybe with more skepticism? They're not so quick to join the tribe, right, with the talking points. What happens with that?
Well, you know, when we talk about independents, we need to distinguish the independents who prefer a party versus those who don't. Independents who really don't prefer a party are, frankly, not terribly engaged in politics. They really don't know. They really don't care which party it is. They're fairly apathetic. They're fairly disengaged. The independents who tend to prefer one party or the other, they also are a rather heterogeneous group because about half of them prefer the Republicans and about half of them prefer the Democrats. Now, in more recent work, I've been looking at how Republican leaners might vary from Democratic leaners. And what I'm finding is that leaners who prefer the Republicans tend to tell us that the Republican Party is just simply not representing their views, and they're not that satisfied with the candidate.
Wow.
Leaners who prefer the Democratic Party do seem more satisfied with their party, but they're really attached to this independent label. They tend to view themselves as outside of the partisan system. So, over the summer, what I was finding is that Democratic leaners seem to have a higher likelihood of supporting their candidate in 2020 than do Republican leaders.
Super interesting. Now, is that just in the era of Trump, or will you see that in other election cycles?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, this is the first time that my co-authors and I have done this line of questioning with independents. We don't have any overtime data. That means that we can't say whether Republican leaners tend to consistently be less satisfied with their party or whether this is just a new phenomenon. You know, we do find that depending on who is in power, depending on what's going on with each party, leaners tend to pull more or less from different parties at different times. So, for example, when one party is in trouble, we tend to find that their partisans are more likely to all of a sudden start seeing their independence.
Wow.
And that goes up and down. It happens with the Democrats. It happens with the Republicans, depending on what's going on. But right now, what I can say is our national data are showing us that Republican leaners seem a little less in line with their party than do Democratic leaners.
From Twitter, a listener says, I will admit that years ago I was a Republican, but the Republican Party left me. I was an independent for a while, and since the Gingrich era have become a diehard progressive. I still like calm, moderate, reasonable Republicans, but they really don't exist anymore. Let me grab a call here from Maddie in St. Paul. Hi, Maddie. Are you saying you are a true independent? Tell me more about that.
Well, I guess I always identified as a true independent, which honestly I didn't think meant much until I heard NPR kind of describe it more. Because it seemed like everybody said they were an independent, so I assumed it meant nothing. But in terms of why I think I'm an independent, I grew up in a household that had both sides, and they functioned peacefully. So
good experience.
I kind of grew up understanding that both sides of these parties, the Republican and the Democrat, they both have good intentions. They both have what they want to do best for the people that they believe in. And so it kind of confuses me a lot of the time because we're approaching the issue, but we can't really listen to each other enough to get anything done. So then it comes down to, I also have to beg the question, what direction are you coming from? Because we have enough evidence. We have enough things about, it's early in the morning, I think it's Citizens United. We have enough information about how their own politics and their world operate that mm-hmm. as an independent and wanting to listen to information and make the best decision possible for myself and for just those around me, it's hard to even like anyone. And then when it comes to this impeachment, I was listening to another person talk about this, and one of the things that they said was you got to kind of ask how smoothly this went in terms of all of the riffraff and ridiculousness of everything that happened. And it's kind of like in this day and age, we have a reality TV show as a president. So,
okay, so
it's
well,
not too far fetched.
All right.
That,
so
you know,
at the beginning, Maddie, I have to say at the beginning of that, your approach, I think, is pretty unique. I wonder what Samara thinks of it. Did you hear that, Samara, when she was saying, mm-hmm. I think each party comes to this and they really want what is best for Americans? That view is pretty unique in political environment that we're in, isn't it?
Well, you know, I think it's more unique in terms of the types of partisans that we're exposed to by the media and, you know, that we see in Congress. Americans themselves are actually a lot more moderate and a lot more bipartisan seeking than our elites, or at least that are the perception that we seem to have of elites. You know, I can't say I don't do any surveying or interviewing with elites themselves, so I can only assume based on what they say and based on how things are reported. But we do know that the American public is actually very happy to have more civil discussion and more civil debate. And what we find is that there's tremendous misperception in terms of how people think the other party behaves.
No.
So In some recent surveys I've recently done with some co-authors, we found that both Democrats and Republicans think that about 70% of the other side are extremely ideological, when in fact only about half of all partisans say they're ideological. More than half of all partisans say that they're moderate. We similarly find that about 60% of Democrats and Republicans think that people from the other party want to talk about politics all the time, when in fact that's substantially smaller. About
that's
a quarter
so
of partisans say that they want to talk about politics. So, you know, I think the perception, or the, I'm sorry, the desire that the viewer expressed for sort of more bipartisan and civil discussion is something that a lot of people want. Unfortunately, those people don't really make the news. That caller's probably not going to be on the news tonight.
Exactly.
Instead, we're going to be hearing about, you know, the angriest people at both rallies, at both, you know, the protests. And that tends to give us a bit of a misperception about the attitudes Americans have towards politics.
Okay, this is something I was going to ask you about, though, because when we talk about how did we get here, our political scientist guests often point out that when you look at what happens in the primaries, you will see that the activists who are firmly committed to candidates, I guess, who would be more at that extreme end of things, are deeply influential in who ends up, you know, running in the general election. So voters are having a lot to do with the kind of divisiveness, which is contrary, you know, in the tribalism that we see and the way Congress ends up being populated. But when I hear you talking about this, you're saying, well, voters say that they would like more moderate discussion about these things and more compromise. So which is it?
Yeah, it's sort of a bit of a paradox, it seems, when we have voters who say that what they really want is civility and what they want is bipartisanship, but in fact they continuously seem to be voting for these extremely ideological candidates.
Right.
But I think what you're referencing is exactly right, that the primary process does filter out a lot of the moderates through a few ways. One of the primary ways, and this isn't really my work, but some other political scientists have been showing this, through the amount of money that it costs to be in politics. If you don't think that you'll be able to get those huge donations from those extreme activists, then you just won't run at all. It's rare for a moderate candidate to be able to succeed at the primary level because they require such a massive amount of money from donors. And those donors tend not to be sort of the more moderate candidates. They tend to be, as you suggested, the more ideological, or the more moderate voters, they tend to be the more, you know, ideological ones. And that makes it really hard for moderate voters to succeed. Now, we have found, you know, that voters do tend to reward moderate candidates to a certain extent, but there's also this issue of electability. People want candidates who are going to be getting support from, you know, from the base,
mm-hmm.
and it makes it really hard. I think that the primary process and the amount of money that it's requiring to run right now are two of the biggest factors.
We're definitely seeing this in the way the Democratic nomination is unfolding.
Absolutely.
Right? Samara Klar is with us if you've just joined us. She's an associate professor of politics at the University of Arizona and an expert on independence. So we called her today because we're curious about how independent voters, and that includes people who lean one way or the other, you know, with a party, or the rarer breed of true independents, really mix it up, don't feel great allegiance to any party. How you independent voters are seeing this unfolding impeachment inquiry and how you hear the ongoing discussion about politics. 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828, on Twitter at Carrie NPR, to Kevin in St. Paul. Hi, Kevin. Appreciate you waiting. How are you thinking about this?
Well, so a few minutes ago, your guest was talking just, I guess what triggered me was true independents tend to be not involved in politics and not caring. And I guess I would identify as a true independent who is very much involved in politics. And I think what's driven me to be an independent is my realization that our two-party system is not working anymore. The Republican Party, the Democratic Party, really serve their own best interests and don't represent the people that belong to those parties, or, you know, people in general. And actually listening while I was on hold, listening to you guys talk about, mm-hmm. you know, the posturing and the positioning of candidates,
mm-hmm.
that I feel like drives my point home even more, is you've got to be a fringe candidate to make it through the primaries, and then you got to run back towards the middle.
Right.
And I think all of this growth and independence and everything you're talking about is a failure of a two-party system. Where they've gone.
What do you think, Samara?
Yeah, absolutely. And I by no means meant to, you know, diminish people who are pure independents. I think that absolutely there are some Americans out there who are highly knowledgeable, highly engaged, and really truly dislike both parties. The fact is we've got a higher percentage than ever of Americans who say that they have unfavorable ratings of both parties. That's almost 30% of Americans now say that they don't like either party. Now, the vast majority of those people still identify with one of them, still vote for one of them. But, you know, we do have people like our caller who know a lot about politics and truly dislike both parties. Now, it's rare. Now, what I mean is that only about 10% of Americans at the most are what we would call true independents. They are independent and they do not prefer either party. So that's a very small percentage of the population. And it's an even smaller percentage of this population who still will come out and vote. If you're not going to support either party, there's, of course, third parties, though, you know, they don't have tremendous track record at the national level, let alone even at the local level, a little at the national level. Mm-hmm. But we do have some independents who are engaged, who support third parties. You know, smaller parties do get a certain amount of support. But the fact of the matter is, if you don't support either party in a two-party system, as the caller suggested, there's not a lot of incentive for you to participate, because in our system, it's just very unlikely that a non-Democrat and non-Republican is going to get any traction.
Yeah. Call here from Nate, listening in Minnetonka. Hi, Nate. Glad you called.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What'd you want to say?
Yeah, I love this conversation, and because I've had a lot of it with my friends, that I've normally voted independent. One time voted conservative, never actually voted Democrat. Mm-hmm. And after seeing everything that's happened in this current administration, to be honest, the recent impeachment inquiry, a lot of what's going on in the public light, it's not swaying me anymore, because I think I already made up my mind pretty early on that this candidate wasn't someone that spoke for me, that spoke for me the values that I held.
You're talking about Trump?
Think,
yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And which is interesting to see what's happening, obviously, with, you know, Klobuchar tried to get in there and there was a little bit of hope. But, you know, in the serious DNC candidates, I think I'm actually for once leaning towards that. But I'm really looking for that more moderate approach. Mm-hmm. And I'm really frustrated with there keeps seeming to be this swinging back and forth of radical voices. And it makes sense that it's partially the money. Mm-hmm. But I wish we could find a way that we could support moderate viewpoints in a way that they actually made it to the final stage and we weren't choosing between reality hit stars.
Right. You know, Nate, you've come back to kind of where I started, and I wanted to hear Samara on this, which is we're going to hear Samara a lot about swing voters in flipped mm-hmm. counties. And by the way, it's something that I'm going to be focusing on a new show we're going to start in January. Are swing voters the same as independents? And are they, whatever they are they really the key to what happens with this impeachment and the election?
Yeah, so I think the three groups that we really want to try to keep very conceptually distinct in our minds are moderates, independents, and swing voters.
Okay, good.
Because these are three very different groups, and all three of the groups tend to be overlapped quite a bit. They're discussed sort of publicly, almost interchangeably. Now, I can quickly, just if I have a moment, just explain how these are all different. Moderates are people who are ideologically moderate. Most independents are not ideologically moderate. About half of them are liberal, but half of them are conservative. And then, of course, there are a subset who are moderate. Most moderates are not independents. Many moderates are partisan Democrats or partisan Republicans. So that's actually not really, we don't really see much of an overlap there at all. Now, when we talk about swing voters, people tend to think about people who move back and forth voting from one party to the next, depending on the election. Now, that behavior, again, is actually quite rare. I don't know if I haven't actually seen any evidence that it's even more common among independents than it is among weak partisans.
Interesting.
But the swing voters that I see as most significant are not voters who vote from Democrat to Republicans. They're the ones who usually don't vote, but will then come out and vote for the Republicans. Or they usually don't vote, but they'll come out and vote for the Democrats.
Uh-huh.
So they're swinging between voting and not voting.
So interesting. So
when they do vote, they tend to vote for the same party. Now, again, I know there are absolutely Americans out there who have and will continue to vote for different parties every year, but they are unusual. That is just not the norm. We don't tend to see that kind of behavior among American voters.
So I think we need a show. I want another hour on independents, but I think we also need an hour on swing voters, because they ended up being important in the flipped counties. And we're going to talk a lot about that. Yeah.
I think they were primarily people that were not expected to vote. They were people who hadn't voted in the past and then all of a sudden surprised everybody by coming out to the polls.
Samara, this was great and much more to talk about. Thank you so much for getting up a little early in Tucson, and we'll talk again soon, I hope.
Always my pleasure. Thank you so much, Carrie.
Samara Klar is an associate professor of politics at the University of Arizona. She's an expert on independent voters, and we're going to talk again because so much to talk about as we really get into the 2020 cycle.
You just heard a recording of a live radio show from NPR News. You can add your voice to the discussion by calling in at 800-242-2828 or tweeting us at Carrie, K-E-R-R-I, NPR. To hear more conversations like this, subscribe to our podcast. And thanks!